Those who are joining us today, we've already had some exciting news and had a lot of fun in Jesus already. If you're ever in the area, come by and see us at Freedom Life Fellowship, and it would be easy to find and fun to be here. This is a loving people, loving family, loving place. Come make a memory in the Lord. If you're ever in the area, come by. 10:29 is when we start. You say, you're trying to be funny. No, I'm not. People here know we want to take advantage of every minute for Jesus. And we got a lot that takes place here besides the message. But this is an important part. And so I'm getting right into the message because even though as I'm preaching this is a holiday season. This is not necessarily a holiday message, because this message can be super effective all year long. And the very reason is because, this particular season, counselors will refer to this season as Blue Christmas or Blue Holidays. And they call Blue Holidays or Blue Season because even though there are a lot of people that are happy and excited and celebrating, there's also a measure of people who are discouraged and sad and depressed. And this season has a tendency to bring back memories that are not pleasant. There's a sense of loneliness that creeps in during holidays. And I want to tell you, I'm not speaking bad about those experiences, but what I'm saying is very human to get there any time of year. You can be discouraged or depressed any time of year, not just during the holidays. I understand the holidays can be tough. Very human to get there, but if you know Jesus, we don't have to stay there. We can enjoy Him in the very presence of whatever situation or whatever circumstance that you're facing. He's available, and He's a very present help for you to enjoy Him. And Jesus makes a difference. It's the Jesus factor. And so you can recolor your holidays is what I'm calling this. You may have already had some blue days during this season. That's what counselors call it. But it doesn't have to be blue. You can hug the light. And when you hug the light, it can go from cold to being warm. As a matter of fact, it can go from being a blue color to a color of life. It can be life to you. And so this is a message on how to conquer those holiday blues. Or if you're watching this message during a different part of the year, it's how to be thankful in a dark world. Or how to have light in darkness. Or how to be thankful in a negative world. You know, there's a lot of things, but it's the same message. But it's always true and always available. I'm thinking about my little dad this morning. You know, my mom just got to go to heaven just a couple of weeks ago. Man, how exciting is that? How precious is that? But here's my dad, and I'm traveling to East Texas to visit him on a regular basis. But thank God for my brother and his wife. They touch him every day. But here's my little dad. His best friend of 65 years is now in heaven. And he looked at me this week. He said, it's a different Christmas. You understand that? And so I got to share with him a lot of what I'm going to share with you today. All right? That just because there's loss, we know that that's fact. Okay? But there's a greater truth than the fact that your best friend of 65 years is not with you this Christmas. And yes, every day is going to be different than the last 65 years. But I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that it has to be blue. All right? You can grieve. All right? But you can also have joy and have peace and have love. You know why? Because of the Jesus factor. And so that's what I'm sharing with you. And the Word of God points us to Jesus. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to recolor your holidays? All right? Philippians chapter 4. And starting with verse 4, I'm covering a lot of scripture this morning. And you know, I never apologize for that because it's the Word of God that transforms. It's not any cute thinking that I have. It's the Word of God. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I know some of these scriptures are going to be familiar to you. Don't mark them off. Don't belittle them. Give the Holy Spirit a chance to speak a fresh word to you from the Word. Because His Word's alive and applies to right now in your life, no matter what time of the year you're listening to this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I love the way the Amplified brings it out. It says, to delight yourself in the Lord. Have you made your soul happy in the Lord today? Oh, yes? Because that's what John Wesley said. He encouraged his followers to make their soul happy in the Lord every day. He got it right here from this verse. Gladden and delight yourself in the Lord. You know what? That's something that all of us can do. Because of how real He is, we can gladden yourself in Him every day. And He says again I say, rejoice. In other words, it's almost like, did you really mean that always? And He says, I know what you're going to think, so I'm going to say it again. Double emphasis, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And so it's important to make ourselves glad in the Lord today and tomorrow and the next. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness. Your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. You know what that's speaking of? Love life. Let your love life be obvious. And the way that your love life for the Lord is obvious is by the way you love on others and the way you love on yourself. I want to tell you, delight yourself in the Lord every day. That's part of loving yourself. That's part of being good to yourself. And so you are at your best when you're letting the Lord love on you. And so love on yourself so that you can love on others with His love. And love yourself with the love of the Lord. And one of the best ways you can do that is to make your soul happy in the Lord every day. Amen, Brother Tim. And we do this as an encouragement to you. Look through the scope. And recognize, it says right here in verse 5, the Lord is near. He is coming soon. And so today is an important day because this could be the day. So make your soul glad in the Lord today. This could be the day. And all the people said, amen. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Man, let's rejoice. Let's walk in the love lane with the Lord and with each other and with ourselves. Let's make our soul happy in the Lord. Let's walk in the love lane. And you know what? Let's not be fret or have anxiety about anything. Do you think He means anything? Because there's a whole perception in our culture that if you really care, you got to worry. That if you don't worry, you don't care. It's like one man told me one time, I went over to speak to him about it. Because his wife was saying, he just worrying, worrying, worrying. And when I went over to talk to him about it, I said, you know, some people just don't understand that if you're really responsible and if you really care, you're going to worry. He said, that's what I'm talking about. They don't understand that you need to worry. And it's like he kind of heard himself say it. He said, oh, preacher, you got me on that one. He said, that didn't sound right, did it? I said, no, it doesn't. Because that's the opposite of what Jesus said. Don't fret or have anxiety about anything. Now, you might think, and there's in our culture, that you're just being a responsible citizen if you worry. Or you're being a responsible parent if you worry. Well, no, I'll tell you what you're doing. You're being an irresponsible believer if you worry. Amen or oh me. If you park at fret and anxiety, which is a form of fear, then I want to tell you, you're celebrating fear if you fret or have anxiety, if you worry. And I want to tell you, you're saying no to the abundant life of Jesus Christ if you hold hands with worry and with fret and anxiety. Do you see that? I want to tell you, it's true that most of the things that you have anxiety about never come about anyway. But they rob you of your peace and your joy and your love. So don't let the enemy steal your peace. And one of the ways to do that is to make your heart glad in the Lord every day and walk in the love lane. that would help you make wisdom choice of saying yes to Jesus and yes to abundant life and no to anxiety and no to fear. He says, in every circumstance and everything. And so every single situation that you face, there's a way that God's made for you to walk in peace. And so in every circumstance and everything, how do we do that? By prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. By prayer and thanksgiving. He's given us weapons of our warfare. You say, well, is thanksgiving a weapon? Yes, it is. Jesus described that with out of the mouths of the babes, that I want to tell you, they're weapons of warfare. The enemy is resisted. Praise is a powerful weapon. Thanksgiving is a powerful weapon. And prayer is a powerful weapon. And so I want to tell you, between prayer and thanksgiving, I want to tell you, it's giving the devil a fish sandwich, a double fish sandwich, when you practice thanksgiving and prayer. And you continue to make your wants known to God. You see, it's a different type of approach to God than coming to God with your shopping list only. I'm not saying there's not anything in there when you're practicing prayer and thanksgiving that you're not asking God for. There's room in this. It speaks of petition. But I want to tell you, a lot of people take that as the only form of prayer. And so the way they pray to God is to make a large shopping list, and they go through their shopping list. It sounds like little kids with a Santa list. I want, I want, I want, I want, I need, I want, I want. And I want to tell you, if that makes up the majority of your prayer, let me just make an announcement to you. You're missing. Okay? You're missing. You're missing as much as those folk who think that it's being a responsible to worry and to fret and have anxiety. You're missing. It causes you to miss. I want to tell you, the best way for you to hit a home run and to walk in peace and not in fear and anxiety is to let your prayer life be your love lane. Let it be your love lane with the Lord. Let it be your love life with the Lord. Hey, let 90% of your prayer life be love life with the Lord. And then in the 5 or 10% left, you work in what you need. But I want to tell you, it's different than begging God, trying to get God to do something. In other words, your prayer will sound like Bible, with prayer and thanksgiving. In other words, it's you're loving on the Lord and enjoying the Lord, and you're saying, oh yeah, Lord, and you know, I know you know this, but I need this to take place in my life. I want to bring your honor and glory, and I need this. And Lord, I just want to go ahead and thank you for it, because I know you love me so much. I just want to, you see, it's prayer, petition, love life, petition, and thanksgiving right with it. It's not begging God. It's thanking him that, you know what, Lord, before we ever even had a need, you have provision. Lord, before we even asked, Lord, you've already supplied. That's how loving our God is. And when you're practicing love life, you're convinced of it. So who are we trying to convince? Ourselves? Are we trying to convince God? Because God's already said yes. And so our love lane puts us into agreement with him. It's beautiful. And God's peace, that's where God's peace, here's the practical way of walking it out. Make your soul happy. Walk in the love lane. Hey, no, say no to fret, anxiety, and worry. Hey, by practicing love life with the Lord and petition with thanksgiving, celebrating with thanksgiving, and what happens? Peace shows up at your door. Peace is manifested. A lot of people want to bypass all of this and just worry and say, just God, give me peace. Well, he's showing you the journey. He's showing you the way. He is the way. And so he wants to be involved in your life. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God. Do you see this? There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. There's no accusing. There's convinced of your love with the Lord. And that tranquil state of soul, it means that you're at rest. That you know that you're saved, you know that you're loved by God, you know that you're forgiven. Is anybody seeing this? God's peace. Hey, you want abundant life? You want divine protection? I want to tell you, the church is going to be the answer for the world in this last generation that we are in these last days, because God gives us divine protection. And I want to tell you, the world don't know about that. But I want to tell you, it's God's peace that brings you to the gate of divine protection. Do you understand that sometimes I visit with people that have literally memorized and recite Psalm 91, but they use it as just an incantation or something to recite in order to get God's approval? They say it in order to get God to do something. I want to tell you, hey, you can memorize Psalm 91 and miss. Divine protection is a result of love life. You know what it is? It's relationship. Hey, we give out confessions of a new creation every week. It's in your bulletin. You're to take them home and say what God says about you. But you know, you can go through that list and recite that list every day and do it twice a day as an optimum. And you can miss, because you know what? It's not the Word of God without relationship. Boy, if we could get to saints to catch this. He wants relationship. But when you involve love life and relationship and you're interacting with Jesus with the Word of God, the Word of God has transforming power. And the Word of God can divinely protect you. And His peace rules and reigns in your life. Wow. That kind of peace that transcends all understanding. You know, you can't explain it and the world can't understand it. But you know it's real and you know it's true because it's something that's in you. I love it when one of our saints named Sandra stood up one Sunday and said, you know what? He is my peace. He's not just peace. As a rescue, He is my peace. And so how do you spell peace? It's with relationship, J-E-S-U-S. It's Him. Transcends all understanding. You know what happens when that happens? I want to tell you, this is how it shows up. It mounts garrison. You know what? It's like a protective fort that mounts guard around about your heart and your mind. And it's in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, He's your safe zone. He's your hiding place. He's your refuge in the rock. That's what our Jesus is. Do you know Him like that? Are you receiving Him? For the rest, brethren, whatever else you want to put on your in your wagon, this what needs to be in your wagon is verse 8. Whatever else. I'm telling you, these few verses from verse 4 to verse 8 are enough. If we would walk this out, this is more than enough, because it's Jesus. How to interact with Jesus. Verse 8 is whatever else you can put in your wagon. This it needs to, how it needs to fit. For the rest, brethren, whatever's true. Hey, not just fact. Not just fact, but true. He's the truth. World's got facts. And they wrap them up in these packages of fear. It's not just fact. We want truth. Whatever's worthy of reverence, honorable and seemly, whatever's just, whatever's pure. I want to tell you, there are some things that sometimes we like to think on that's not pure. Come on now. Hey, I'm announcing to you, best way to get rid of these appetites is not to chew on them. I'm announcing to you that you start eating the healthy stuff. And do you know what happens? I want to tell you, God made us this way. It's true in the physical and in the spiritual. When you start eating the healthy stuff, you know what you do? Hey, you develop an appetite for it. You may start out not liking them. I started to say the little green peas, but I won't go there. You may not like green beans. But when you start eating them and you practice eating them, then you know what? After a while, you develop an appetite for those things. And the next thing you know, they're not just on your plate. You're asking for them. Am I preaching at the right place? This is what happens spiritually too. Whatever's pure, whatever's lovely and lovable. I want to tell you, sometimes we like to entertain ourselves with these revenge themes. That has no place in the Christian mind. You may enjoy it, but it ain't life to you. Whatever's kind, whatever's winsome, whatever is gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, can you give God praise for it? Then if not, you need to check the label. Think on. You see, think on and weigh. Take account of these things. In other words, like you're doing your checkbook. Oh, you don't do that no more, do you? Wait, the way you look at your bank account on your computer, on your phone, and you reckon these things to be true. Fix your minds on them. That means this is what you need to focus on. If you focus on scenarios of fear, do you know what's going to grow? Do you know what's going to grow? If you focus on scenarios of faith, do you know what's going to grow? Fix your mind on these things. This is where relationship comes in. You're not just a computer. It's a relationship with Jesus. And this is interacting with Jesus because the Holy Spirit will give you personal application to the truth. And you need this in a fresh and continual way. Practice what you've learned. It's not going to do any good for you to say amen to it and even know that it's truth and agree with it, but leave and not practice it. No pastor can do this for you. You've got to do it. I want to tell you, the Word of God is full of promises, and He wants these promises for you to possess these promises. But I want to tell you something about these promises. They've got to be applied. They've got to be walked out. They've got to be practiced. Okay, if they stay in the pages, they don't work. Practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, look at this. I want to tell you, we've been speaking to leadership. We've laid in new leadership. This is the whole thing about leadership, is to be a servant example, to be an example to the body of Christ and to the world. And so is your life an example? I can't say in every way, follow me, the same way I'm doing it, but I can in some ways. But I want to tell you, we ought to be able to. We're an example whether we want to be or not. And let the God of peace of untroubled and undisturbed well-being. Isn't he saying to his disciples today, don't let your heart be troubled? Troubled hearts are not a normal state of a believer. They're not supposed to be. We're supposed to have undisturbed well-being. You know what that describes? Shalom, peace, rest inside and out. We'll be with you. We walk it out. It's lifestyle. Somebody say lifestyle. It's peace, not a troubled heart. A troubled heart is a fearful heart. It's love, it's hope, it's faith, it's J-E-S-U-S. If you're not touched and affected, if you're one of those that say, well, the world just doesn't affect me. Well, you're a liar. If you're not touched by all the negativism in the world, you're not awake. And I don't want what you're taking. It's amazing. And boy, we see it in every arena. I could pick out, politics is one of them. I tell you, it's so negative. And you know what? It's more negative than when I was a kid. Yeah, yeah. There's always been a little mudslinging. They're not throwing mud anymore. I don't need to explain that. And I want to tell you now, they'll even call people on their own team bad names. Names that you wouldn't allow in your house to be said. But we smile and laugh about it because, you know, it's our man. But you wouldn't allow the way they talk, those people to talk in your house around your kids and your grandkids. You wouldn't allow that. But we celebrate and salute them. I'm telling you, what we face in our country is a lot of times the best of two bad choices. But I want to tell you, let's not settle for that. Let's pray for godly men to be raised up to put in office in our country. They were there at one time. Let's pray. Let's believe for him. Not just someone that can have right policies, but someone that can actually act like a Christian. How about this? Lo and behold, is it possible in our nation not to just have someone that has Bible positions on policies, but actually act like a Christian while they're in the voted position? Talk like one. Act like one. Not use the four-letter words to describe people around them. Oh, man, I don't think. Where am I preaching at? Okay. I want to tell you, there's better than that. So why don't we just not settle for the best of two bad choices? Why don't we believe God for someone that's godly enough to be in office and vote for those that are godly enough to be in office that would actually name and proclaim the name of Christ and have some lifestyle about Jesus about them? Okay. Well, maybe I need to preach that a little more. We live in a fallen world, and there's a continual negative effect. And the media produces worst-case scenarios. And you add on top of all that that's being pumped into the minds every single day, and the sickness issues and relationship issues, it's a recipe for defeat unless you have an answer. And the answer is Jesus. Jesus won the victory on the cross for us to have joy. I don't care how bad it is out there or how bad it is at your home. Jesus won the victory on the cross for us to have joy. Jesus won the victory on the cross for us to be of good cheer. Now, if that's not possible, then Jesus did us wrong by presenting this as a promise. Is it possible with Jesus to walk in supernatural peace? Is it possible in a fallen world to have an attitude of gratitude no matter what's happening around us in the world? And I'll tell you what, y'all going to have to, I'm preaching better than y'all witnessing. So y'all, we'll witness in church. Okay, remember that the more you shout, the faster I preach. Okay, let me give you this. I want to show you something here. This is kind of a pattern in life. What channel are you on? It goes like this. What is having input in your life? What are you exposing yourself to? Okay, that's very, very important. What channel are you on? Hey, whatever input that you have around you causes you, affects the way you think. This affects the way you think. What you think affects the way you feel. The way you feel sets the attitude in your heart and mind. Your attitude determines your actions. Do you understand this? Do I need to stop and preach on each one? Hey, your actions determine your habits. They don't just show up by accident. I don't know how this happened. No, this is the way it happens. Okay? Hey, your habits develop your character. When people say to me, I don't know how I got to this place because when I was younger, I was never like this. Well, I know how you got there. This is the path. This is what happens to humans. Now, as believers, we have some different choices. And so, with our input, it's supposed to be the Word of God. It's supposed to be sermons about Jesus. It's supposed to be praise and worship and thanksgiving. Hey, it's supposed to be body life fellowship where you get together and don't talk about the cowboys and the cowgirls. You talk about Jesus. I want to tell you, that affects you. And I want to tell you, that's what we meditate on. Because we take that meditation, see, and we meditate on what he's saying and what he's doing and what he is. And that meditation will cause us to come to the place where we're able to bind the bad and loose the good. Because wisdom comes, and direction comes as we meditate on the Word of God. And this is how we walk in the spiritual life. We have a spiritual mind. This is how we walk in the Spirit. We have a spiritual mind. And this is how that we don't fulfill the flesh. because we choose life, godly life, Zoe life. This is how we have a renewed mind, and a renewed mind brings a transformed life. Do you see that? Was that too much for you? Well, I want to tell you, this is a lot about what we preach, because this is how change happens. And the focus is on Jesus, and we choose life, and we choose Jesus. And it's an effortless change. It's something that he does in us. So what you focus on or what you think on determines your attitude and your perspective. Hey, you say, and I've had people look me straight in the eye and say this over the years, that I don't have time for that. Okay, well, thank you for your honesty. But you go ahead and tell heaven and hell that you don't have time. You just go ahead and tell Jesus, you had time to come on earth for me, but I don't have time for you. I'm announcing to you, we make time for those things we deem important. When a pastor tells me he doesn't have time to get in the word, it's not important to him. It's no secret. The church might not know it. Heaven knows it. Okay? I want to tell you, listen to me. If you don't have time for Jesus, understand this. You don't have time for abundant living. And you wonder, why is my marriage a mess? Why am I struggling financially? Why my relationships aren't right? Why is it I'm not seeing, you know, the benefits of peace? And I'm troubled and I'm tormented by fear and worry. And what's the deal with me? You got to have time for Jesus. He's got to be the center. Not just something you do on Sunday. He's got to have a relationship with you in order for the word to be life and alive to you. It doesn't happen without relationship. There's no substitute for intimacy with God. You try to live the Christian life without having a relationship with God, and you're weak, and you're worried, and you're burnt out, and it don't work for you, and you don't know why. This is the reason. Getting awful quiet. This Spirit-filled Baptist church, awful quiet. Well, are we saying we don't want to be a disciple? We don't want abundant living? We don't want to thrive? We don't want to experience heaven on earth? Huh? We just want to survive till he comes or till we die? You want to hear Jesus when you enter the gates of heaven? Is anyone listening? Do you want to hear Jesus say, "Well done"? Or do you want to hear Jesus say, "Well, you're done"? We're in the last days. This is end time generation. This is so exciting. Generations before have dreamed of this day, and here we are. Jesus talked about end times. He said wars and sufferings would increase. People would cry out for peace and safety. Instead, there would be earthquakes and other terrible things happening. Man, I need to touch on some of these scriptures. And so you hang with me, and let's touch on these scriptures. Matthew 24, 6 and 7. And you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. And I've been traveling quite a bit lately, and I had a couple come to where I was there in East Texas. And they walked in, and they wanted to ask me some questions, and they found out where I live and where we minister. And they said, "I would never live there." And I said, "Okay." And they said, "Well, that traffic up there is so horrible. We hear rumors about it all the time. It's one of the most dangerous places in the world to drive. And if I lived there, it would be the death of me." Well, I hate people talking like that. And I said, "It probably would." "Well, how do you stand it?" Well, let me tell you. I turned that little red truck into a holy roller worship place. It's rolling, and Jesus is holy. And I'm enjoying him on the journey. And I just fill that truck up with praise and thanksgiving and prayer. I just receive the presence of God filling up that truck. And so it doesn't matter if I'm driving miles an hour or if I'm stuck and parked in traffic. It's possible to enjoy the Lord in spite of wrecks and rumors of wrecks. Because his peace is greater than any situation or any circumstance. Is that what we preach? Is that what we live? And so I'm telling you, we can enjoy the journey no matter what because of who he is. Well, we either believe it or we don't. Wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened or troubled. Do you see that? Another, did it sound like Jesus? Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Don't let your heart be troubled. There's a choice. And so don't be frightened or troubled, for this must take place. The end has not yet come. For nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in place after place. I had somebody tell me the other day, did you hear about China? Did you hear about Russia? Did you hear about Korea? Did you hear about Iran? I smiled and headed them off. I said, so what? Did you hear about Jesus? They laughed. I'm so glad they laughed, because it kind of sounded maybe just a little smart aleck. But I want to tell you, hey, truth rules over facts. There's a Jesus factor. There'll be famines and earthquakes in places. Are there going to be pestilences? Are there going to be viruses? You think this is the last one the enemy's got up his sleeve? But I want to tell you, there's a way for us to have divine protection and walk in peace and love and joy. And when you hear wars and rumors of war, don't get alarmed. Wow, I'm telling you, this is a theme. See, he's already showed us how to have peace. How to, hey, celebrate the Lord. Honor the Lord. Troubled and frightened. Don't be alarmed, troubled and frightened. That's not the way. That's the way they are. We're not to be the way they are. It's necessary for these things to take place. Understand that that's going to happen out there, and don't act shocked about it. We get a heads up. He's telling us the end's not yet. It's coming. When you hear wars, insurrections, disturbances, disorder, and confusion, is there any of that out there? Look what he says in verse 9, Luke 21, verse 9. Do not become alarmed and panic-stricken and terrified. Don't do that. Do not let your heart be troubled, for all this must take place first. When people are saying, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, all is well and secure, and there's peace and safety, and then in a moment, unforeseen destruction and ruin will come upon them. Wait. Them. Them. Everybody crying for safety and peace, but destruction will suddenly come upon them. Just the way labor pains all of a sudden show up. And there will be no means of escape, for there will be no escape for who? Are you listening? It's for them. Because Jesus tells us that he is our personal way of escape. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's our escape. We have a Savior. We have Jesus. And those that have Jesus, he's our way of escape. And Jesus said, the love of many shall grow cold. Matthew 24, 10 and 12. And then many will be offended, repelled, and will begin to distrust and desert him. Now, wait, let me tell you, when you see people offended and they seem to be offended at you, I want you to be at peace because they were offended at Jesus first. Man, is that new insight for you? The reason they're offended at you is because they were offended at Jesus first. Now, let's look at the order here. Many will be offended, repelled, and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they thought they ought to trust and obey. And then they will stumble, and they'll fall away and betray one another. This is where it comes in with you. And pursue one another with hatred. This is where it happens with you, but it starts with him. Understand that. We're no better than the master. Understand that people that you love and care for will betray you and will be offended at you. You're to back up and walk in the love lane. Understand that they did this to Jesus. They did it with you. And as a matter of fact, the folk that are doing it with you did it with Jesus first. Okay, man, this is good stuff here. And the very ones that stumble and are offended and want to pursue you with hatred, they are the ones that are going to experience greater deception. Be advised, step away, walk in the love lane, don't get caught up in it, because more deception is coming to them. You think they're missing now? They're going to miss bigger and bigger and bigger. Be advised, deceived people don't know they're deceived. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. Who are they leading into error? The very ones that are stumbled. The very ones that are offended. The very ones that deserted him. They're deserting you. They're the ones that are going to go into deeper error. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. So how do you protect yourself from the world getting darker and darker and darker? You focus on the Jesus and growing in his light, more light, more light. More love, more love, more love. You focus on Jesus and not on the growing darkness. He's already told us what to focus on. Do we need to go back to the first of the sermon? See, I don't have time. Go back and look at your notes and listen to it over and over again. He told us at the first what to think on, and we're not to think on these things that we're talking about now. On the growing darkness. Don't focus on the growing darkness. Focus on the great light. Well, that's not very deep, but it's very true. Hey, because of troubles, the love of many going to wax cold. Now, this wax, I saw this first when I was preaching in Missouri. And it was at the, can't remember. It was kind of like a resort area, Pioneer Resort area. And they were doing the old-fashioned candle making. It dip, 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 layer, layer, layer. Holy Spirit really working me over. This is the way the love of many will wax cold. Little by little by little by little. They don't all of a sudden start out frozen. It's wax cold. Cold, little by layer, constant negativity, ungodliness in the world, focusing on the darkness, receiving the mess, troubled heart will cause the love of many to grow cold, layer by layer by layer. Doesn't happen automatic, it's little by little. If you don't embrace the light, darkness will cool your heart. How's the temperature of your heart? Over time, you get to where you become hardened toward the love of God, and you don't even recognize that you're cold. It's very obvious. The media focuses on everything that can go wrong. Let's be honest. Good news doesn't make money. The world's mindset highlights bad news. It sells. If there's not enough bad news, you find a low bad news day. Do you know what they do? They predict worst-case scenarios of what will come. I'm not joking. That affects people. They predict worst case scenarios to promote fear. Let me show you how this happens because football was a big part of my life. Both my boys played college ball, so we've been involved in football. The Hall family has. And I want to tell you what happens. I hope you see this. Every year, the start of football season, everything's so exciting. Huh? People are believing the best. Seeing their team in victory, got championship on the minds, believe in their hearts, speaking of a great season, winning is the dream, it's electrifying, people are cheering and shouting, both the players and the fans. For most, a few months later, the level of enthusiasm has evaporated. Weariness from the effort, pain from injuries, heartbreak from loss and disappointment. It's just not the same atmosphere. It's not the same attitude. What changed? Listen, because this is what happens in churches. This is what happens in homes and individuals. At the first of the people, at the first of the season, people have hope. Hope is the expectation of God's goodness in your life. You lose hope, there's a problem. You stop walking in love, there's a problem. Faith disintegrates. Huh? At the first of the season, people have hope. They're anticipating all the positive things that are going to come. They see victory on the big screen of their hearts. Earthly life, same football life. Experience and focus changes the perspective and the attitudes. It happens in church life. It happens to believers. Be advised. God does not change. God does not stop the flow of joy, peace, love, hope, faith. We change. God is never the variable. Boy, if you catch that, it'll help you. God's never the variable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the Messiah is always, somebody say always, the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages. And so I'm announcing to you, God does not ever stop the flow of abundant life. He is giving continual, ever-increasing love, hope, and faith for you. He's more than enough. What changes, friend, is our focus. When we allow ourselves to get caught up in the negative news and the drain of regular human living, we lose ground. Hey, let me say it. We wax cold little by little. Now, because of time, let me summarize something here. You remember Peter walking on the water? I believe he was dancing across the water to Jesus. But then he got to, you know the story, looking at the winds and the waves. He got to operating like a regular human. He got to focusing on the winds and the waves. Can I just tell you something real simple? This is Tim talk. The wind and the waves made no difference with him walking on the water. Oh, are you trying to tell me that if the water was calm, it'd have been easier? No. He walked on the words of Jesus. You understand that? And if you're walking on the words of Jesus, if the sea's calm, it's still a miracle. If there's winds and waves, there's a miracle. But what are you focusing on? He began to take his eyes off Jesus and focus on the winds and the waves. And this is Tim talk. I think he began to sink slowly. And he cried out. No, because that's the way it happens with us. He didn't all of a sudden drop to the bottom of the water. He wasn't on the bottle sending up air bubbles. Help me, Jesus. I think he was slowly sinking, had his eyes off Jesus, and slowly, without him even realizing it, till almost it was too late, he said, Jesus, help me, lest I drown. And you know what's kind of funny about this? I think he was real close to Jesus. I think he was close to something more. Are you listening? I think a lot of times we're close to something more. And if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, we'll get to experience more of the story than we ever even dreamed of. I love to think about that. But I think he hollered out, and he must have been close because the Bible says Jesus just reached out his arm and picked him. He must have been close. Jesus reached out his hand and picked him up and said, hey, what happened, man? Why did you have some doubt sneak in? There was a whole lot more for me and you to enjoy on this. Okay. Slowly waxing cold. If we could keep ourselves focused on what God says. Or is anybody listening? The promises of the Word of God, the good things God's doing, what He is and who He is. He's the great I Am. And He told them that night, be of good cheer, I am. Be not afraid. That's what He said in this sermon. We could maintain a positive, thankful, peaceful attitude and mindset in the midst of an ungrateful, self-centered, negative world. How powerful is your God? That's what the question is. Is He able to give you strength and courage to maintain a positive, peaceful, joyful attitude? Wait. Even if a doctor gives you a bad report? You see, even the world can be happy when there's happy happenings. Come on now. You're not just a regular human. You've got the Jesus factor. Has He provided promises and a victory for you to maintain your joy and peace, even if a relationship is falling apart? Regardless of what the fallen world and the enemy serves up, you can be positive, peaceful, joy, and love-filled. It will not happen without your cooperation. Is there anybody I know that walks in this perfectly? No. 1,000 times no. I don't. I think it was Wednesday morning, I walked in and told my wife, I'm really upset.
I don't know whether I'm going to cry or get mad, but you're going to have to just give me a little bit of time here. And I want to tell you, it took me a couple hours. I came back to this. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit, sometimes my wife, through, you know, Holy Spirit through my wife, can point me back to my own preaching. She didn't do it Wednesday, but the Holy Spirit did a good job of it. But I'm here to tell you something. He didn't steal the day. The enemy didn't steal the peace of my day. Do you understand? Now, I want to tell you, hey, a few decades ago, he'd have stolen the day and probably part of the week. No, no, no. Let me tell you what a track coach told me. Because I told him, I said, "Coach, I ain't getting any faster." He said, "You're improving, Hall." I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because you're recovering faster." Tell it. Are you listening? It's not going to happen without your cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Giving a yes, faith response to His Word. You got to be a determined disciple. A persuaded pursuer. How's that? Yeah, I like that. Being a convinced one that's confident. All right? That He's true and very present to help you. And so the question is, what channel are we focusing on? Now look, I'm finished. So let me just say these couple of statements. It's Philippians 4:8, but I'm not going to take time to read it because you got it. But whatever's true, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely. Hey, if anything's excellent and praiseworthy, this is what you focus on. We become what we focus on. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so are we. As it is in heaven, He taught us to pray, so shall it be on earth. I want to tell you, because of Jesus, and only Jesus, not you, but because of our cooperation, submitting and receiving, focusing on Him, I want to tell you something. We can experience levels of heaven on earth. That's what abundant life is. That's Jesus. He's the factor, and He's with you. Let's say yes to Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love You so much. Thank You, Lord, that there's no mountain too high, no valley too deep. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're our personal shepherd. That when You're our personal shepherd, we don't lack in anything. We shall not lack. You guide us, You protect us, You feed us. Lord, You make provision for us in the very midst of our enemies. You walk us through the very shadows of the darkness of death, the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, You bring us to pools of peace. Lord, green fields of refreshing and restoration and renewal. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You chase us down with goodness and loving kindness every day. Thank You that You show us Your great salvation and all that that is to us in eternity and in this life. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We want to enjoy Your presence every day and make our soul glad. And all the saints said, amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Let there be a shout in the house. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you, team.